You know, being able to share with other people your witness, your testimony. That's really the calling of every believer. Every believer has some sort of experience they've had with the Lord Jesus Christ in being saved. And that getting to share that with someone is the richest experience you'll have. You will find that as you learn to share your testimony with other people and you share to them who Jesus is to you, your faith will increase by leaps and bounds. I mean that. Witnessing is one of the best ways I can think of to have you grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to encourage you to always be ready to give your witness and your testimony of who Jesus Christ really is. This morning, one of our brothers wants to share his witness and testimony. So we're going to ask Brother Johnny Kicklider, and as he's coming, we'd like to ask the children's church for you to be dismissed at this time. If you're a children's worker or if you're in children's church, you're dismissed. And Johnny will give us a testimony just now.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, you're welcome. You know, it's coincidence, if you believe in coincidence. I personally don't. I believe everything's providential. That my testimony I'm giving here on Mother's Day, and it occurred to me while I was just sitting there, you know, my mother's responsible for both my births, obviously my natural birth and my spiritual birth, new birth, because had she not pursued me, as one old pastor used to say, like the hounds of heaven, I might not be here today. But, you know, I've always had trouble sharing my testimony. And one of the issues regarding that is in the day, back in the 60s, during the speaker circuit, we had a lot of Vietnam veterans returning from the war. And they had very dramatic stories to tell, you know, being caught in a foxhole with firefight going on, or friends getting blown up, limbs being blown up, and these very dramatic stories. And then they would draw the net by closing out. This is how they came to the Lord. And then you hear stories of, I don't know if you guys remember in the day, David Wilkerson. He was the founder of Teen Challenge, a lot of ministry to drug addicts. And you'd hear these stories of guys giving their testimony and girls giving their testimonies of how they were drug addicts. And then on and on and on with these dramatic stories of mainlining and getting in mischief and stealing and such. And then they would draw the net and says, then I came to Christ. I didn't feel like my testimony was all that big of a deal. Well, I don't have any dramatic stories like that. You know, I've never served in a firefight, never involved in any debauchery such as being a drug addict or a homosexual or a drunkard. And I think maybe the feeling that I had was rooted in the fact that maybe I just didn't think I was all that bad. Maybe I was just a terribly average sinner. If there is such a thing as that. You know, and so I go and I look at Paul's testimony in Acts, where he gave his testimony several times. And I remember one case in point. He says, all my Jewish friends, they knew all about me in the past. Kind of like, well, if you want to find out how rotten I am, you just go ask them. And then he proceeds to proclaim Christ. But I think I was a lot like, and still am, as in Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed and thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Okay. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That was reinforced by a book I recently read. I've known it existed for years and even quoted from it, but never read the entire thing. But when I was out at the Shepherd's Conference a couple months back, I picked it up. It's Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. And he goes through and lists respectable sins. What are respectable sins? Well, anxiety. Didn't Jesus tell us not to worry? Frustration. Discontentment. Scriptures teach us we should be content in whatever state we're in. Unthankfulness. You know, being thankful in difficult circumstances. You know, I praise God for making Chris and I foster parents. Somebody at work said, "You raised four boys and you're doing this all over again? You've lost your mind?" You know, but I'm thankful for my children. Moral self-righteousness, the pride that we have within us, pride of correct doctrine, pride of achievement, an independent spirit. Selfishness, oh my, of our interests, our time, which is probably our most valuable resource, our money, being inconsiderate, ungodliness, not the ungodliness you think of debauchery in the streets and drunkenness, but not considering God when we make decisions to do things. Lindsay, my daughter, she attended a church with a friend some months ago. I vaguely remember the conversation, but it made me think. She said the pastor, she heard from the pulpit, say, "You can't think about God all the time." And use an illustration like, "Well, when you paint or paint a wall, you're not going to be thinking about God." Well, that made me think, shouldn't I be? Aren't we supposed to do everything to the glory of God and consider Him in everything we do? Decisions we make, who we marry, financial decisions. Lack of self-control in our eating and drinking, our temper, our personal finances, television, hobbies, impulse buying. Here's a good one. Impatience and irritability. How about anger toward God? You know, I use this illustration. Am I unhappy because God dealt me a bad hand of cards at the card table of life? If you could use that metaphor. Resentment, bitterness, enmity, hostility, grudges, judgmentalism over convictions, disagreements, critical spirit, envy, jealousy, competitiveness, controlling, and then sins of the tongue. These are respectable sins. Gossip, slander, lying, harsh words, sarcasm, insults, and ridicule. Worldliness, money, all sorts of immorality and idolatry. These are the respectable sins, not skirt chasing. Whoremongering, drunkardness, homosexuality. So when I say I'm just a terribly average sinner, that's what I mean. Not particularly flamboyant, but sins of the heart. And that's who I was. And to some degree, still am. I've not reached perfection and never will in this life. I'm holding up, this is a shameless advertisement for Gateway, by the way. Module 3, Topics in Biblical Counseling, Marriage and Family Counseling. Got an A, by the way. If anyone wants to enroll in Gateway, put pictures in your work. Dr. Tyler, he's a sucker for those. You'll get an A for sure. If he's not here, is that considered slander? It might be. But part of Module 3, we had to write a testimony, a 30-second testimony. And I think this pretty much sums it up. I wrote this several years ago, and I thought about it just the other day. As a teenager, I was a troubled young man attempting to seek peace of mind through psychology, modeling myself after worldly personalities and escape through television and fantasy. My efforts focused on pleasing myself with utter disregard for others, and I remember those days so vividly. And a friend invited me to church. Actually, it was my mother who steered me in that direction, but a friend took me under his wing. Where I saw kids of my age actively serving the Lord and dedicating their lives in service to others. This shattered the template I had formed in my mind that people were essentially cynical. The Lord revealed to me the wickedness in my heart and my judgmental attitude toward others. And since turning my life over to Him for His purpose, He has given me peace and joy and a desire to serve and help others. You know, I didn't have the road to Damascus conversion where lightning bolts and anything like that happened. I just remember for a period of time, I was kind of like on the outside looking in. You know, when you're trying to look inside a building or a house, you're on your tiptoes kind of looking through the window. And then all of a sudden, one day at school, I'm on the inside now looking out. And what an amazing transformation that I was now an adopted son. You know, we're all foster children until we're adopted by the Almighty. I want you to turn to hymn number 203. Now, don't be afraid. I am not going to sing. I attempted leading congregational singing many and many years ago, and I was an absolute dismal failure. That'll be in my chapter, my book I'm writing on humility, which I've yet to start. But I think this sums up where I want to leave. One of the greatest hymns of all time by Charles Wesley, full of sovereign grace. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who calls his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. I wasn't looking for it. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin, and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold, bold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Thank you.